Hello and welcome to the KO Knockout Podcast. Today, we sit down with one of the most well-known experts in storytelling for business leaders, Gabrielle Dolan, as she takes us through her journey of being a teacher, an author, and an advocate for change, and shows us that bringing vulnerability to business is the key to communicating effectively. Please enjoy.
We are here because as women in business, we don't want to walk alone on our path to success. We believe that by teaching and supporting one another, we can gain the knowledge we need and build a community where we belong. We are the Knockouts, women who champion other women and see every obstacle as an opportunity.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the weekly Knockout. I've said for years that here at KO, my favorite part of running our events is the incredible women that we meet and the stories that we share, and that everyone has a story to tell. But here today, we have someone who's an expert in not only, you know, the importance of telling your story, but telling it well so that it really resonates. So Gabrielle Dolan joins us from Australia. I'd love to welcome you to the podcast.
Thanks, Lindsay. It's good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about how you became one of the most well-known experts in storytelling for business leaders.
Yeah, I guess it started probably about 20 years ago, and maybe a little bit before that. I worked in corporate Australia, so I'd worked in corporate Australia for, you know, 20 years in technology industry, and, you know, progressed into leadership roles. So I guess I experienced firsthand the challenges of leadership and communicating and influencing, whether it's your team or your clients. And then I progressed into some senior change management roles where you're sort of trying to lead this big change. And what I started to notice is that when I shared a story, the message got through better. Like people understood it and sort of went through a story, and sometimes sharing a personal story to communicate a business message, it seemed to make sense. So I started to notice this concept of the power of stories about 20 years ago. There was actually Stephen Denning, who was an American. He was actually born in Australia, but lived and worked in America, wrote a book on storytelling in organizations. And he was a senior exec at the World Bank. And I sort of, that gave me some, I guess, courage to think that there's something in this, that I think that storytelling is a skill. It's a business skill that people need. And I had done a lot of leadership design and delivery of myself. So 17 years ago, I left the corporate world and thought, I think this is a skill people could learn. And maybe I'm the person that could teach them how to do it. So with never running a business before, and certainly never running a business on storytelling, I left my little nice corporate job and decided to do this.
That's incredible. And for those who can't see and are just listening, you have written 7 books. They're all sort of lined up behind you. What do you, you know, tell us about, you shared with me that you weren't always the strongest writer or strongest English student, and yet you are now the author of 7 incredible books. What has that journey been like?
Yeah, Lindsay, I'll confess to everyone that I failed my final year of school in English. I failed English. So, you know, my English teachers would always complain that I, you know, didn't pay attention to grammar and stuff like that, which, you know, I still don't. I think grammar is so overrated. Yeah, I have edited for that. So I know, like, the fact that I've written and published, you know, and they've gone so well, books is a surprise to me. I'm sure it's a massive surprise to Mrs. Bennett, my English school teacher, if she's still alive. And because I never thought I'd write, and I never really did like English, but I didn't like English at school. And it was literally probably about 10 years after school, I went back and did my MBA. I did an MBA in management and leadership, and I would write these academic writings, and I'd get my husband to proofread them. And at one stage he said, you can't write how you speak. And I'm going, why not? Why should I not be able to write how I speak? He goes, because you just can't, you're not allowed to. It's an academic paper. And you know, he was right. But when my supervisor after my MBA was trying to convince me to do a PhD, I just thought, there is no way known I can continue writing this way, and I'm not going to write a PhD that probably no one will read, and I will hate writing. Maybe I'll just write my own books. And so I, the reason I have now love writing and have been able to write so many books is I actually write the way I speak. And one of the, and you know, it's about finding your voice and sticking true to it. I do have editors that pick up all the spelling and grammar mistakes, so they do that. But one of the biggest compliments I get from people that have read my book is when they say to me, I felt like you were in the room talking to me when I was reading it. And that is my aim when I write. So yes, don't listen, don't take too much notice of your English teachers if there's any kids watching this.
Well, there's an art to teaching too. And you're a writer, you're a teacher. How do you teach someone who says, I don't have a story to tell. I don't know how to tell stories. That's really not my thing.
Yeah, Lindsay, it's a common thing. I think one of the, and there is, the, you know, there is an art to teaching, I guess, too. One of the things I love about my job is when I get in front of people and I, you know, take them to, say, a half-day workshop or a full-day workshop, is that at the end, they have this experience to go, I never even thought of sharing stories or sharing personal stories in a business setting, and I never thought I had any. And that's a common thing where people go, I don't have any stories. I'm just sort of normal. Like nothing brilliant's happened to me. Nothing really bad's happened to me. I'm just sort of normal. And we all have stories. And it's so I do actually correct people when they say, I don't have a story. It was like, no, you have lots of stories. You have lots and lots of stories. And it's just helping them realize that those stories, you know, it could be like, you know, when they failed English at school or when they broke their leg as a kid or whatever it is, are really interesting. And when you apply them to a business message, they're actually really, really effective. And they're a lot more effective than just going in with the normal, you know, case studies or timelines or facts and figures and logic, that the story helps people actually connect with the message and connect with you as the storyteller. So my training helps them realize that they do have stories, but there's a lot of people that think I don't have any stories to share. And we all do.
What is the key to sharing a personal story in a business setting? Are there any rules that you really encourage people to stick with? I'm sure that makes some people very uncomfortable.
Yeah, there is. There's lots of guidance I take people through. In fact, in my training, one of the things I get them to talk about, you know, well, what makes a story for a first place? But then what's the considerations in business? And there is things like, you know, it can't be too personal. So you don't want to be that person that like overshares and it's too personal. People talk often about vulnerability, but I'm not prepared to show any vulnerability. It was like, that's okay. Not all your personal stories have to be vulnerable. The other things in business too, they've got to be really short. So you don't want to be, you know, people going, oh, you don't want to be taking 10 minutes to share a story in, you know, even 5 minutes, like even 3 minutes is probably too long. So I sort of say, keep it short. But
so how long should a story be ideally?
Yeah. So look, I reckon a sweet spot for sharing stories in business is about 90 seconds, because I think once you probably start getting over 2 minutes, people are starting to think, get to the point. And once people start thinking, get to the point, you're actually starting to lose them. They're starting to disengage. So look, Lindsay, it might be good if I gave you an example of what I mean by a personal story, because I think this sort of answers probably answers your two previous questions. What are the rules? And also some people think when I say personal story, it's not your deepest, darkest fears and secrets. It's just something that didn't happen at work. That's what I mean by a personal story. So let me give you an example that I think really typifies what I mean by this and the impact it can have. So I did some work with a company and their risk team. So the entire risk team. Now, as you know, with a lot of, if your listeners work in companies, sometimes if you work in these support roles, the greatest thing you have is your ability to influence. So you sort of can't, you know, whether it's, you know, finance or HR or comms or, you know, risk. So the head of risk, her name was Rosemary. And Rosemary said to me one of the biggest challenges that she has when she's talking to the teams that she supports around risk management is that when risk is raised as an issue, they look at her and go, you're the risk manager, that's your job. And she said, it doesn't matter how many times I've told them that I cannot manage their risk for them. All I can do is help them manage their risk. She goes, the behavior doesn't change. Like the message doesn't get through. And she goes, it's so frustrating. I've given them case study after case study, example after example of the benefits of managing your own risk and the consequences of not, but the behavior doesn't change. So this is the story. This is the story she started to share. And I'll share it with you. She said, when I was a kid, I grew up on a farm. And growing up on a farm, there was all these dangers we needed to be aware of, but mum would teach us what to do. So we knew what to do if we ever came across a snake in summer, and we knew what to do if we, you know, came across redback spiders in the timber heap, and we knew what to do if we came across, the traps in dams after heavy rain. And I remember that it was a really hot day and mum was yelling at me to get my bike from the front gate because we were having visitors over for lunch. So I'm running down the path and then I just froze because in front of my bike was this massive copperhead snake. But I remembered everything mum taught us to do. So I played statues and I slowly walked backwards until there was enough space between me and the snake, and I ran back to the house to tell mum. And I'm sharing this with you because it reminds me of the role we play in risk. All I can do is give you the skills, knowledge, and advice so when you come across your own copperhead snake, regardless of what that looks like, you will know what to do. Now, Lindsay, I'm going to ask you three quick yes or no questions, and your listeners can answer these in their head as well. Does that story help you understand the role of a risk manager better and the role you play in it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Second yes, no question. Do you think you'll remember that story?
Yes.
You will. I've potentially just saved your life. If you come across a snake, you now know what to do. You know, you play statues, you slowly walk backwards, go back and tell your mum, but you will remember it. And I can talk a little bit later about why you'll remember that. And the third question is, if you had to, could you retell that story to someone else without losing its meaning? It wouldn't have to be word for word, but do you think you could retell it without losing its meaning?
That's a good question. I think because it was short and simple and an experience that's very relatable, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if I could tell it as well as you, but I would.
No. So you might not tell it as well as me. You wouldn't, but you'd be able to give it a shot and it would work. And so if you look about some of the fundamental challenges we have in business, when it comes to leading people, when it comes to communicating, when it comes to influencing internally or with our clients or other stakeholders, when it comes to communicating and influencing, when we do that, do people really understand what we're saying? Like really understand it? Can they remember it? So when the meeting's over or the presentation's finished, can they actually remember the key message you said? And if they had to, could they retell it to someone else? So if they have to go back to their, you know, seniors, can they retell it? And your personal story gives you traction on those three things, where understand, remember, retell, where facts, figures, statistics, logic is very hard to. Now, I'm not for a second saying you don't need all the, you know, the facts and the figures and logic. You absolutely do. But the story is actually what creates meaning for it. And people cannot remember something unless it creates meaning in their brain and they're engaged with it. And that's what a story does. And then you have all the logic and the data and everything to justify it and rationalize it and get them across the line. But the story is what people will remember.
If I have a point that I would like to make, I want to build a story around it. Is that possible? Or do you have to find the story and make the point? Like, I'll just give you an example. I'm a business owner. I have core values for my company. And I've heard Lindsay, hey, create a story around your core value that your employees can understand. And that will help them understand the core value a lot better. And so I've been, this has been on my to-do list forever. It almost seems backwards, like I'm trying to create a story for an end, and that feels hard to do. What are your thoughts on that versus just you have a story that has a point organically?
The vast majority of work I do, the 90% of the work I do, is go into companies and train their leaders to share personal story around the company values. So sometimes a story will happen and you go, oh, that's a good story I could use to deliver this message or that value. But the vast majority of time, it happens the other way around. So let me take you through that process, Lindsay, because if this has been on your to-do list for a long time, you're going to have it done right now. And this will be, you know, and when you think of people in business, so it doesn't, you know, you want to communicate your values. Now, hopefully they align with your company values. Let's just take that as a given. But whether you're communicating your company values or your personal values, it's the same thing. So let me give you a 3-minute version of what I take people through in a half day. And it's all around this, because I truly believe that if you're not communicating your company values through stories, then they're just words on a paper. That's where they're staying. So let's look at a typical company value of, say, integrity. Now that can be called all different things, integrity or respect or doing the right thing. We go through this process. So I'll give you actually a real example. I work with a company and one of their values was integrity. So I take people through the process. I'll pick, her name was Anne, and this is what I do. So Anne, integrity, tell me what that means to you in your own words. Like, personally, what does that mean to you? Don't worry what's written, you know, in the company document under integrity. What does it mean to you? And Lindsay, this is what people normally sort of go through. They go, oh, it means telling the truth. Okay, what else does it mean? It means if you say you're going to do something, do it. Okay, what else does it mean? And I normally get to this point, and leaders and senior leaders will be saying, that's a really good point. Haven't thought about it this much before. So we actually haven't thought about what the value means. So this happened with Anne, and I kept pushing her. So what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? And in the end, she said, what it really means to me is doing the right thing all the time. She goes, I think we're pretty good at doing the right thing when it suits us, but not so great at doing the right thing when it doesn't suit us. So a value, a high level value, will have different messages. So you've got to understand what it really means, real it means. Then I say, pick one of those messages, because the big mistake is we try to find this story that will cover all of those things, and it's just too hard. So just pick one of those messages. So for example, if you say you're going to do something, do it, or, you know, do the right thing all the time. So Anne chose do the right thing all the time. Then I go, well, where have you experienced this outside of work? So you're going to have lots of stories about that inside of work, like business related stories, which are okay, which are fine, but that's the default. So where have you experienced it outside of work? Where have you done it? Where have you not done it? Where did your parents tell you this? Did you have a teacher that demonstrated this? So pushing people to think of times when they've done the right thing or they haven't done the right thing. Okay. So when they have or haven't done it. So this is the story Anne shared. I'll give you another example. We're doing a podcast on stories. We might as well have lots of stories in here, Lindsay. What do you reckon? So this is the story that she started to share. She said, growing up, my dad was a professional swimmer, and it was in the 1960s, and he reached the point in his career where he actually tried out for the national swim squad. And on the day of the meet, he was apparently winning his race, and he got to the end to do the tumble turn, but for whatever reason, he slightly misjudged and he missed the wall. Now, this was in the 60s, well before sensors. They had judges, but with all the splashing and kicking, he knew they wouldn't know if he touched the wall or not. So he had to make a split second decision. Does he go back and touch the wall, or does he just keep swimming? And he decided to go back and touch the wall. Now, you don't really recover from that, and he didn't, and he never won. And I'm sure that there's for a whole lot of other reasons, but he actually never made the national swim squad. And I'm sharing this with you because when I think of our value integrity, I think of my dad. It's only a matter of time before we come across our own go back and touch the wall moment. And I invite you to consider what my dad would do. Now, Lindsay, imagine if that's your new leader or someone you're working with. Like, what does that story do for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. It gives you a hero. It gives you a visual, an action, you know, and, you know, it's sort of a, like, you can use that, hey, let's touch the wall on this. Like, I just, that's very powerful. All right, I get it. I've got some work to do. How does one find those stories? Do you just, you know, do you go to a room and just start writing? Do you talk to people? How do you draw those out of yourself?
Yeah, so there's an activity I suggest people do. So on the spot during the training workshops, I literally ask those questions. Where have you experienced this before? Where have you seen it? Where have you done it? Where have you not done it? And also there's a, I keep saying, where have you not done it? There's some really powerful stories. If you think integrity is important and doing the right thing, where have you not done the right thing? And, you know, we've all not done the right thing. And it's sharing those stories and the regret you have or the lesson you learned about it. They can be some of your most powerful stories. But there's a process that I suggest people do. And if people want to find out more about this, I have a free 7-day storytelling starter kit that they can access via my website, and it will literally get them started on this. And this is the one of the activities I sort of teach in this little, you know, they'll get a 2-minute video from me once a day for 7 days. And in one of the videos I talk about this, but I'll quickly talk about it now, is literally with a blank piece of paper, go through your life and think of everything you can remember and just write it down. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but you will do that really quickly because you'll bring out all these, you know, major events that have happened in your life, like, you know, getting married or moving country or, you know, breaking your leg skiing or something like that. You'll think of the major events. But if you sit there, if you literally just give yourself time to sit there and think about it, things will come to you that haven't thought about for years, and just jot it down, just remind yourself of it. And then you've got all these potential stories. Now, you may not use all of them, but it's almost like, what was the meaning in that? What do you take from that? Like, you know, if it is a story about when you, you know, you went skiing and all your friends told you to come down the Black Run with them, but you weren't really up for it, but you did it anyway. And you spent half the run going down on your bum or whatever. And you go, well, that's just a story. And you go, well, is it? Well, what's the meaning? Like, you could take the meaning from that you're just prepared to give things a go. You could take the meaning that you just trusted your friends. It's like, what was your meaning for that? And that's what it's about. It doesn't have to be literally what was it about, but what did it mean for you? And when you go to that level, you go, yeah, well, it actually was about trust, or actually was about, it just demonstrates how I always prepare to give things a go, that, you know, I'll just, and I go, okay, so there's a great story about, just give it a go. You'll be surrounded by friends. So if something goes wrong, they'll be there to support you. So it's finding those stories and go, what was the meaning in that? And Lindsay, that goes back to your other question. What happens first? Do you have a value and you need to find a story, or do you find a story and find a message? And sometimes it does both. But if you, that's a process I recommend you do, and you could spend as much or as little time on that as you like. You know, I've known people that have spent, like, just keep it at the back of their mind, and they keep thinking of stories and just literally just jot it down. So, you know, you've got a growing list of potential stories, because the reality is you've got a growing list of potential business messages that you need to communicate.
What's at stake if business people don't develop these stories?
I think what's at stake is that they're missing a really, really amazing opportunity to connect and engage with their people. And whether those people are your team, whether it's leading, communicating up to the executive leadership team, whether it's communicating with your clients, because the reality is we've been told all our life in business that works, personal, don't mix the two, just give me the facts. Like, no one's ever said, just give me the story. So we are communicating in business in this robotic way that we think's professional, but it's not engaging. And it's in, and a lot of the times it is boring. It is so boring, and people aren't understanding what we're saying, and they're not connecting with us. And through stories, and there's a huge amount of research done on this by, you know, neuroscientists that are way smarter than me, that show that when you share a personal story to communicate a message, it's people not only connect to the story, not only connect to the story, but they connect to the storyteller. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that story I shared about Anne, about go back and touch the wall, when I share that story in my training, and I say to people, what do you think of Anne? Like, you've never even met Anne, but what do you take? And then they go, oh my God, I would love working for her. She's so trustworthy. I respect her. And it's like this, stories can not only fast track a relationship, but can strengthen relationships. And again, when I run my training, I mean, clearly I'm in my training, I'm giving lots of examples that I've just given, but I teach people the process of how to share stories, you know, how to start it, what to put in the middle, how to end it, how to find the right story, all the type of stuff, and then get them to share stories in small groups. And the first question I say afterwards is, tell me what you liked about that. And without doubt, everyone says, I feel a stronger connection to the people that I've just shared stories. I've just found out something more about them. I've worked with these people for years and I never knew that. And I feel the stronger connection. And so I just sort of think, if sharing stories helps you communicate your message better in a way that people understand and remember, if it helps you influence better, like, do it just for that. But if the added benefit is every time you're sharing a story, you're strengthening the relationship with the people around you, like, it just, it seems to be an absolute no-brainer why you would not share stories.
All right. Recommend 7 books. Recommend one for our audience. So women mostly that are in finance, investing, they have high-powered jobs. They put a lot of pressure on themselves. They're great at telling their firm's story. Maybe less comfortable telling their own story. If they should read absolutely like one of your books, which one do you think will have the biggest impact on them?
Good question. So I think if it's just for themselves, if it's just how they want to communicate for themselves, I think the book, it's called Real Communication, How to Be You and Lead True. I think, and because that's all about the individual, I think that would be valuable. If it's sort of, yeah, I want to do it for myself, but also for perhaps my team or my company, I would recommend my latest, Magnetic Stories, Connect with Customers and Engage Employees Through Brand Storytelling. So I know I'm cheating. I know you said one, but there's two.
Well, it depends. What hat are they wearing? Okay, I love that. Thank you so much, Gabriel. This was a great fun. I'm mesmerized, and this seems like a game changer if you can figure out how to develop this art or skill or however you want to describe it, how impactful we could all be.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Lindsay. I think it is a game changer, because once you learn how to do this, you will communicate and lead for the better forever, which is, you know, not only will help you, but will help all the people around you.
Wonderful. Well, we hope we'll talk you into joining us in the US at an event in the future. So hopefully this isn't the last we hear from you, but good luck with all of your new books, and I look forward to following your work.
Thanks, Lindsay. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you for joining this conversation with Gabrielle Dolan. She believes that everybody has a story to tell and has used the last 20 years to share skills, knowledge, and advice to those who long to do just that. We all have a story, and we hope this episode helps you find yours. Thanks for listening.